The following is a presentation of the Chicago Bears Network. Now on News Radio 780 and 105.9 FM, this is a special edition of the Bears Coaches Show featuring General Manager Phil Emery. The Bears Coaches Show is brought to you by McDonald's of Chicagoland in Northwest Indiana and sponsored by Miller Lite, University of Phoenix, and Walgreens. Now, live from Hallis Hall, here's the voice of the Bears, WBBM's Jeff Joniak.
Jay Cutler completed 10 of his 24 passes to second-year receiver Alshon Jeffrey for a franchise record 218 yards and a touchdown. Not enough to overcome the Saints yesterday at Soldier Field, but it was fun to watch, that's for sure. Good evening, and welcome into the Bears Coaches Show from the Chicago Bears Network Studios here at Hallis Hall. Pleased to be joined by Bears General Manager Phil Emery. You're pinch hitting. You're pinch hitting for the coaches tonight.
Yeah, you're
taking one for the team.
Very appreciative of the opportunity to be on and represent our fine football team.
Short week, and the coaches really do have to get down to business and prepare for Thursday night's game against the New York Giants, a game you'll hear right here, starting with a 4:30 pregame show and 7:30 kickoff on News Radio 780 and 105.9 FM, WBBM. Today, Coach Trestman reiterated really what he said yesterday, both with us, Tom and I, on the broadcast and the postgame show, and then with the media, called it an extremely disappointing loss to the Saints. And he was most troubled, Phil, by the slow start offensively, those first five possessions. He looks back and really was... upset about that. They did make some progress in terms of the game, but overall, that the beginning of the game really against a team of this caliber haunted the Bears.
Yeah, you know, Jeff, against any team in the NFL, you know, whether you want to call them a hot team, cold team, you need to start off fast. Positive plays, positive production. So you put yourself behind the eight ball a little bit, it's tough to catch up in the NFL. We have shown that we are a team capable of doing that, but definitely you don't want to start out that way. You want to start out on a positive note. And, it takes all parts of the football team, offense, defense, special teams. When you put yourself in that position, you got to start making plays. You have to make big plays, whether it's turnovers on defense, big return with special teams, maybe a block, a punt, offense, big plays, big pass plays, big runs. You put a lot of onus, a lot of pressure on yourself to come up with those type of plays.
Improvements defensively pointed out a couple of things. One, the run fits. The tackling was better defensively. The coach's review came out today. Lance Briggs, 15 tackles, 11 solos, 4 tackles for loss. Had the sack when Breeze dropped the football. That was an easy one. That was a gimme. But the tackles for loss were big. There were other guys also with double-digit tackle numbers.
Yeah, there were several players that played well overall. I thought our defense did a good job overall. I mean, obviously you go into the game and you put yourself behind a little bit, but to come out all of that down 6-0 is a whole lot better than coming out of that down 2 or 3 touchdowns. And it's just a mark or a show of all the defensive players that we have and the playmakers that we have. You know, Lance Briggs has been playing lights out all year. And, the number of plays that he makes – and I told him after the game, a number of plays you make for an old vet are awfully impressive. And we appreciate people like Lance Briggs, who comes as a professional each and every week and loves the game, Jeff. That's why he makes plays. He loves the game. It's about his teammates and it's about his love of football. And, seeing him chase somebody down in the number of years that he's playing the leagues is a sight to behold.
Well, how about this? Just in those tackles for loss, they were an inverted wishbone. Jed Collins, a fullback, was supposed to root him out there. But, the quickness still at his experience level, and I don't want to talk about the A, I just say experience level, doesn't appear to be slowing down. I mean, that quickness is there.
Right, and that's what I was talking about. The burst that he has is exceptional in all directions. You see the fans see the burst. I see the burst from the booth in terms of the downhill plays, the tackles for loss that you're talking about. But the burst that he has in coverage is also very impressive in terms of, he's matched up on Sproles, and you see Sproles make a little head fake to the inside and then go out. Well, Lance Briggs matches him movement for movement, and boom, he's in a cover position. So the things that he does as a football player are very impressive.
Pass rush. I'm going to keep reiterating Coach Trestman since he's on the show every week, but the press conference today says it's getting close. Could have had 4 sacks. I know 3 pressures given to Shane McClellan and 2 to David Bass, a new pass rusher for you. So what would you think about the pass rush?
Yeah, they're starting to work you know, together as a unit in terms of the inside and outside portions of the rush, which is impressive against somebody like New Orleans, and even more impressive when you realize that we've got some new parts in there with David and Cohen on the inside. Both showed up, played some good football for us, did some impressive things. So we keep taking those steps, Jeff, and our coaches keep putting our players in a position and keep working on improvements to get closer to our end result, which is to finish those plays. Not to be close, but to finish and have an impact in that in terms of that's a lot of yardage at the end of the game when you start having sacks that you've taken away from your opponent.
And how Corey Wooten at three technique did very well.
Yeah, it's an extremely unselfishness of Corey, number one. Two, Corey's a very talented player. He has a lot of versatility inside and outside. And that's, you know, that just speaks to his value as a player that he's able to do that. He's able to unwind all that length, whether he's inside or outside, and create penetration with a combination of power and his quickness. He truly is the quickest player that we have off the snap. And, you know, that's that Northwestern intelligence.
Out of all the guys?
And smarts, yeah.
Out of all the guys?
Yeah, constantly. He has a real trait or tool in terms of he has a great anticipation for the snap count. Now, they got him on one. You know, Drew Brees, the wily veteran, got him on one. But overall, consistently, he's the first guy off the mark. And Corey does a lot of good things for us. And that unselfishness, it carried over because everything's kind of new inside. How you trail behind blocks is new. How you penetrate the schemes that you see, the blocking pressures, the angles that you face is different. He came in. He did a good job for us, and he's going to have to hold down the fort for a while.
Isn't it crazy?
For Corey, you know, it's more than hold down the fort. He's a good football player.
Yeah, isn't it crazy, though? You think you got things settled in terms of depth on a chart before you start a year. Turk McBride, you signed Cedric Ellis. He decides not to play football anymore. Then Henry Melton goes down. Stephen Paya can't play, at least for this past week, and now you lose Nate Collins. Torn ACL. That is tough at one spot, let me tell you.
Yeah, but it's a testament of the toughness, the mental toughness, and the competitiveness of our group. Nobody's waving their hand to get out, you know. Everybody wants to play. The object is to win the game, to win the play, to win the day, and our veterans won't allow anything but that. People like Julius Peppers, it doesn't matter who he's playing with. He loves his teammates, but he knows he's playing for them, for the Chicago Bears, and the end result and goal is to win, and that's the important thing. So it literally is the next play, and it literally is next man up.
All right, time to step away. It's
Bears at their own 40. Saints rush four. Now a late blitz. Now he backs off. Jay standing in. Jay stepping up. Jay launching deep. Going for Jeffrey over the shoulder. He's got it inside the five. What a catch by Alshon Jeffrey. Used his arm for a little bit of cushion.
A developing connection between Jay Cutler and Alshon Jeffrey, producing over the last two games 15 receptions, 325 yards, a 21.6 yard per catch average, and two touchdowns in these two games. That 58-yard strike setting up a late fourth-quarter touchdown pass to Brandon Marshall, and the Bears lost to the Saints. That's the Bears Play of the Week, brought to you by McDonald's, proud partner of the Chicago Bears. Back with you at 6:43 on News Radio 780 and 105.9 FM WBBM. This is the Bears Coaches Show in the Chicago Bears Network Studios in Hallis Hall. Pleased to be joined by General Manager Phil Emery with you tonight until 7:30. You know, you made the point several times during training camp, publicly and just in conversation, that Alshon Jeffrey came to the NFL as a good football player, and he's refining it every day. He's getting better and better. Coach Trestman talked about the time spent with Brandon Marshall down in Florida in the offseason, the eating, his approach to the game. We saw it in OTAs. He was taken off. He was visible. He was sticking out on tape. He was sticking out in practice. And now it's all coming in together. And, you know, there's a great relationship between what Jay's doing, what Alshon's doing, what Brandon's doing on the football field. It's all coming together. And somebody, and Brandon included, are going to be able to make big plays moving forward.
Yeah, you know, to start, Jeff, all three of those players are very important to one another, as their teammates are. You know, the better that Alshon Jeffrey gets, the better the opportunities that Brandon will have to be the uncovered target. That's really going to balance itself out. Brandon's very good for Alshon. That's what gives Alshon the opportunity to have one-on-one. The more balls that Alshon catches, Martellus Bennett, Matt Forte, Earl Bennett, the more opportunities that Brandon will also have some clean lanes to the ball, or for Jay to have some clean lanes to Brandon. So it all balances each other off. But kind of going back to Alshon, you know, he's a very focused individual. It helped him a great deal that a true professional like Brandon took him under his wing and brought him down to Florida and spent a lot of time training, showing him how to eat, showing him all the little ins and outs of being a professional wide receiver in the NFL. But it takes somebody with the mindset and focus to take that help and apply it. That's what Alshon always had. He always had high level of talent, and he always has been a very focused guy since he's been a Chicago Bear. I know that during the draft process, there were a lot of concerns and questions about him, but talking to him, really getting deeply into what the South Carolina folks had to say and all those people around him, great competitor, very focused, a lot of quietness, but a lot of confidence in a quiet way. And that's what you're seeing. You're seeing somebody that's always been capable of being a big play performer. And he takes those qualities he has, focus, competitiveness, work ethic, wanting to be the best. He's applied those, gotten some help from great people like Brandon. And this is the end result.
You know, one of the things that struck me with him, I don't care how many times you can try, he won't talk about himself. That's unlike most receivers and cornerbacks in the NFL, but it doesn't matter to him. I'm sure deep down it does that he broke a team record. Given the loss, yes, it pales in comparison, but it's something significant. A 200-yard reception day in the National Football League, that doesn't come around very often, even in this pass-happy NFL right now, but he always defers to team first. And so he has the mindset that you really want in a locker room, doesn't it?
Right, and that, again, just goes back to who he is as a person. You know, he wants to win football games. If somewhere during his college career he was frustrated, it might have been because he didn't feel like they were in the best position to win. That's also part of your maturation process. You know, people kind of go from 17 to 18, 19 to 20. Each one of those steps is about a year. You know, takes some time. It takes some time to develop. But I know one thing. I found out quickly. We brought in Alshon as one of our top 30 visits, and I kind of got after him a little bit.
In what sense?
Just talking about where his career has been, where it's going, what I've seen, the great things I've seen, the questions that I had, and he didn't say much. But when I challenged his competitiveness, that young man rose up in that chair, and he looked me straight in the eye, and he said, "I can play." He has no doubts about his ability, and that's what you're looking for. The end of the day in this league, to play at a high level, to become a marquee player, you have to have extreme confidence in yourself. He has that, but he does it in a quiet way.
Okay, a strong pair of hands, doesn't he?
Oh, we had him rated in the top three receivers in the class, and I know at the time when I said that, somebody said, so he was third. I said, no, I didn't say that. I said, in the top three. I felt like at that time he was the best wideout of the class in terms of the difficult catch, the sideline balls, the end zone, the jump ball. I thought he was the best jump ball catcher in the draft class.
Well, he's got strength in those hands, too, because he sure squeezes that pigskin. All right, we got to step away.
Takes the snap, play fake, pressure coming, stepping up to avoid, now sets and throws, launching downfield to Jeffrey, up in the air, leaping grab to the 16-yard line of New Orleans and a first down.
Jay Cutler dropped a beauty in the bucket up the seam to Alshon Jeffrey. Good for 31 yards. That was on 3rd and 5 of the New Orleans 42. He takes it to the Saints 11 in the second quarter. It's one of several, I'd say, wow throws by Cutler on his way to a 128 quarterback rating. 73% completion percentage. Cutler, our player of the week, brought to you by Tempur-Pedic. But he had a great connection with Alshon Jeffrey yesterday. The top five offensive plays by the Bears, Phil Emery, were all Alshon Jeffrey, Jay Cutler connections. Now, that's tough to do given all the weaponry on the team right now.
Yeah, it is. It's a statement about our offense. You know, we have a lot of plays designed to get players, specific players, open. But if they're not open during the process of the play, throw to the open man. And yesterday, Alshon was the open man.
Yeah, it sounds very simple. Yeah. not always executed that way, which leads me to this because, Mark Trestman was asked today if Brandon Marshall is a distraction right now because he's been questioned a lot, and I guess the comments are construed as a level of frustration with his role week to week. Do you, as the general manager, take into account the nature of the position, which wide receiver is one of those that great wide receivers want the football, when you're listening to these players, how they react week to week?
Well, you know, Jeff, my gray hairs, they were actually earned. Some of it's genetics, but most of them were earned. And definitely age has given me a little bit of wisdom in terms of it's about people, the uniqueness of people that makes them what they are. And it's not about position. It's not necessarily about football. It's who that person is, his makeup, and the unique skill set, personality, and talents that they bring to the table. And Brandon Marshall is full of talent and skill sets, and he's a unique person in his own right, and that's a good thing. Because I want to be around people that add to the group, and he certainly adds positively to the group. You know, Brandon has a lot to do, again, with Alshon doing well. And the better that Alshon and Martellus and Matt do and Earl does and Joe Anderson when he gets in the game and Marquise Wilson, who will step into the spotlight at some point here, they benefit from Brandon. Brandon will benefit from them. It all goes together. But in terms of, you know, taking into account, you know, it's just kind of like my dear wife at home. I have a wonderful wife. She takes my position into account when I come home frustrated. So we're definitely going to give that benefit of the doubt to others.
Sounds good. I like what Jay said today, too. You know, when asked about, Marshall's going to have to, quote, keep on trusting us. And trusting us means the offense, not necessarily, you know, the coaches, just the offense and what you say.
You know, yeah, you know, I will go one step further. We certainly trust Brandon. Brandon's a playmaker. He's a marquee player in the toughest sports conference in the world or sports league in the world. This guy was born to make plays, and he works at it. He's worked his skill set to get himself to the point where he's at, a marquee player, and we certainly trust that, and we certainly trust that he's a playmaker.
All right, let's talk a little defense. The numbers over the first five games in terms of yards, and I don't know how you look at that. Against a wide range of offenses and quarterbacks, overall, how do you think the unit is played, and do you care about the numbers? And are the numbers maybe even more indicative of just the way the game is turning in this league? You saw, yes, the Denver-Dallas game is a perfect example. Yards galore, points galore. I mean, is there going to be a different way to defend teams now and how you determine if it's been a good defensive day or not?
I think there's a lot of great playmakers in the NFL, and that's what makes it what it is. You know, it's you know, even after a very tough loss, which this was, it's exciting to go home and watch Sunday night football and watch other playmakers. This is a great sport. It's a great league. It's full of very talented people. You know, as far as the yardage counts because if the end result is scores. But the number one stat that counts is the win or loss, Jeff. And, you know, I've said this before. I'm a fan. I'm a fan of the Chicago Bears. This is my team. When we won the first three, I was excited, you know. And when we lost the last two, I'm disappointed. And we will never stop doing everything that we can do to improve the team and our players to improve themselves and our coaches to coach harder, better, smarter, and come together as a team and keep improving. And I definitely have seen improvement on our defense. I thought we got better. You know what I see is I see our three linebackers working together in unison. I see that improving as we go on each game because they're getting more familiar with one another. I definitely see a combination of different players still being able to make plays, even though we're recovering from injuries. I saw our tackling improve last week. Some of the tackles that Chris Conte made in space on a extremely talented football player, that number 80, I know you know his name, Jeff, but that number
Jimmy
80.
Graham is pretty much
he does
ridiculous.
Some awfully good things. But I saw Chris Conte come up and get him on the ground. I saw Major Wright flying inside to put people on the ground during run plays. And, you know, we did a good job against the run. And we've been doing a good job the last week and a half. From the second half of the Detroit game through this, our fits have gotten better and our tackling has gotten better.
Once again, live from Halas Hall, the voice of the Bears, WBBM's Jeff Joniak.
Yeah, you know, good team. A lot of veteran guys. A lot of guys have been in the league a long time, and they've been successful. Coach Coughlin, his track record speaks for itself. Eli, some guys on the defense that have been on some very winning teams. So you know, can't overlook them by any means. We've got to prepare for these guys like they're 5-0.
And that is Bears quarterback Jay Cutler. I'm preparing for the New York Giants and Thursday night football at Soldier Field. Welcome back into the Chicago Bears Network radio studios at Halas Hall. This is the Bears Coaches Show with GM Phil Emery. We'll talk about the Giants a little bit later on in the program. We started talking about the defense and those linebackers, the veteran linebackers, two of them on one-year deals coming in here. You never know truly how the chemistry is going to be, but you seem quite pleased with DJ Williams, a middle linebacker, and James Anderson on the strong side with Lance.
Yeah, you know, Jeff, and that's a good word, pleased, because we were pleased that they were still available when we went through this process. And when you have a chance to get somebody like DJ Williams, who still has, we talked about Lance's burst, he can match him up in that category in terms of explosion of the ball. I think our fans have seen that, his ability to track somebody down in space and put a good lick on him, knock him sideways. And, you know, he's getting better and better in understanding our defense. Part of the thing we were attracted to is that he's played two positions. He's played Mike. He's played on the outside. And, you know, he's played in Lance's spot. So we thought, hey, here's a potential starting Mike. And also, if one of our players go down, he has some versatility. And then to find James Anderson. And I'll tell you what, James has been a bonus in terms of leadership. I mean, his quiet leadership on how he pulls people together, how he's taken these young linebackers, Kasim and John, under his wing and taught them and is teaching them what it is to be a professional, what they need to pay attention to, what they need to keep their head clear for, has been very, very impressive. But the other part, even more impressive, is how steady he's been on the field. This guy's in the right place at the right time, and he is a very good tackler. He showed that again this past Sunday. You know, if he gets you lined up, he's putting you down on the ground. You're not going any further. He's a tough, competitive, smart player. And we're very pleased to have both those guys join Lance. You know what? I felt very comfortable going in to the season and going into the UFA market. As long as we had Lance Briggs and he was part of that group, we were going to have a good linebacker core because he was going to bring it. And I, you know, what we talked about before in terms of burst and playmaking and being sudden and dynamic, as long as that was a cornerstone, we were going to be good. And they're starting to develop that feel of playing together and showing us each week getting better and better at it.
And what great learning opportunities for the young linebackers as well. All right, time for a check of traffic.
I just feel like you see signs of us getting better, of being a good football team all the way around. I don't want to sugarcoat it. We lost the game. But we are doing some things better. We're getting closer.
As Bears head coach Mark Trestman earlier this afternoon addressing the media after the loss of the Saints, disappointed with the outcome but optimistic about where this team is headed. At 7:14, welcome back into the Bears Coaches Show with Bears General Manager Phil Emery. Enjoying yourself?
Jeff, I'm having the time of my life. Anything that has something to do with the Bears,
that's exactly
I'm excited
right.
about.
Hey, let's talk about what goes on behind the scenes in your life. I mean, it's a lot. There's no question. And scouting is the lifeblood of many in this business. And you're preparing already for your third draft as general manager of the Bears. So you indicated when you first got the job, you spent a lot of time on the road, maybe more so than people might think. Have you been able to do that? And are you able to do all aspects of your job and still do what you love, and that's scouting?
Yeah, you know, this year I've been on the road so far more than I was a year ago. I love being able to watch players, watch people perform. Performers perform. Some are at different levels. But definitely in this role, I go to see the best, see the ones that could have the most impact on the Bears in terms of the level of a play and the position needs that we may develop throughout the year, or we have already determined what our needs are. I go see those positions and those higher level players. So that's exciting. I'm getting to see the cream of the crop, and there's nothing like it, Jeff. It's a very unique job in terms of, you know, some people appreciate art. I think I look at players as part of that art. I mean, it's what they do is so unique, and to other people, they're at the top level of their ability to perform certain tasks of people in the world. I mean, I do look at a bigger picture in terms of, you know, hey, a left tackle that kick steps and slides out quicker than you've ever seen or that I've ever seen in the last 16 years of scouting. And it's, you see that and you go, you know, I have never seen anybody that good doing that task. And that's what makes it special. And that's what makes it fun. It just, I guess it's a little, you know, a different way to look at it, but it is art to me. And I really appreciate players and the attributes that they bring.
So have you seen a lot of these special performers this year? Are they growing in leaps and bounds in college football, especially on the offensive side? I don't know. It looks that way anyway.
Yeah, there's a lot of points being scored. But, you know, I will say every draft I've been in, there are special talents. And sometimes you're in a position that you can draft them, and sometimes you're not. You don't always get all the players you want. You have to feel really good about the ones that you get. But this class, you know, it looks so far, Jeff, that there's a special class of quarterbacks. Mm. Now, that's looking at all classes. And some of those will be in. Some of those will not be in the draft. But in terms of the quarterbacks playing in college football right now, there's a lot of very good ones.
You know why?
Well, I think part of it is just the instruction that they get growing up as far as getting into it. The number of passing leagues there are in the summer is countless now. When I was coaching in college football in the mid-'80s, you know, the passing camp thing was few and far between. There was a gentleman named Red Fought who was kind of one of the fathers of the run-and-shoot offense up in a little college in Franklin, Indiana. He was one of the first coaches ever to have a summer passing camp for quarterbacks and develop leagues. Now, every university has their own passing camp that they bring in. They bring in multiple teams. They sponsor kind of, they're the place for the high schools to go to have their camps. And maybe the high school coaches are actually doing the coaching, but they provide the facility and it provides interaction. And so it's a little bit year round now in terms of quarterbacks and skilled players. And that definitely has had an impact.
Yeah. I mean, you almost feel, I'm sure if you're a player and a parent of a player at the college level, that you will, by any means necessary, get in with one of these, you know, gurus, whatever they, because some of the things that they go through, and George Whitfield is that his name? He does some very unique things that seems to translate onto the football field. We'll pick up that conversation after another check of traffic here at 7.
The Bears Coaches Show with head coach Mark Trestman continues exclusively on the home of the Bears, News Radio 780 and 105.9 FM, WBBS.
So it's not something that's new, and it's something that everybody goes through, and there's pretty much a universal way of trying to get it done. It's not easy, but at the same time, it could come at a better time. I know the guys would much rather get out there and play another game after yesterday.
No question. These Thursday night games come upon you quick, but everybody's got to do it, and the Bears get ready to meet the Giants on Thursday night. Tonight's Bears Coaches Show, sponsored by Illinois Pork Producers Association. And enjoy a free Red's Tavern Double with purchase when the Bears get a takeaway this season. Brought to you by Red Robin, home of Tavern Double Tuesday. And this Thursday's Save the Planet game against the Giants, powered by Constellation. The first 40,000 fans in attendance receive a Bears Constellation reusable water pouch. I knew this would happen. The hour is flying by, Mr. Emery. And thank you so much for joining us and allowing the coaches to get ready for that game on Thursday night at 7:23 here on News Radio 780 and 105.9 FM WBBM. We'll try and tick through a bunch of topics here in our final segment. So what are you going to do, a defensive tackle, and what are the chances that Stephen Paya is able to play on Thursday night?
Well, that probably would come all the way up to game time, Jeff. You know, Stephen's been busting his rear in terms of every effort to come back. He's been in that training room three, four, five times a day for treatment. And it's just, you know, he's talked about it's a toe injury. It's unique to him. Toe injuries are tough. I mean, who doesn't use their toes, right, Jeff?
Is it, and
especially
is it
when running?
By definition, turf toe, or is it?
I wouldn't take it that far in terms of the specifics, but it's definitely a toe injury, and it's something that he'll have to work through. And when he's ready to play, I know he'll be able to play all out. In terms of the process, you know, where we're at, obviously we used Corey as a three technique this past week. You know, fans can count on him being there. And until somebody like Steven comes back and until we look through the depth and see where we're at that way. Today, we signed a practice squad player that was with us in camp, Christian Tapu.
Okay.
And we're going to bring him back as a practice squad player, and he may end up on the 53 by the end of the week. It just depends on us feeling like who are the best seven players active for the 46 on game day to give us the best chance to win. But Christian's another option, along with Zach and Cohen, in terms of the mix of inside players. We also know that, along with Corey, that Julius has played some inside during rush situations. So we have some options. It certainly helps when you think about options when somebody like David Bass steps up and has a good game.
Tell us about him a little bit. You know, he's got some juice. You saw it right away.
Yeah, he's got some juice, and he's got explosive strength or functional power. If, you know, watching him on one-on-ones during practice, you know, we're so limited with the new rule set. You only get to see so much practice of live and really see and be able to examine what a player brings. But I will tell you, last week in practice leading up to the game, there was no doubt that David Bass had power. He was able to grab some cloth, grab some jersey, and do some turning of shoulders and flipping on the ground. He was ready to go. And what was great about him is that when he got his chance to play, it wasn't too big for him. He's very confident. It was like, put me in. I'm going to play. You know what? He made plays. He had a pressure. He had a hit. He got involved in a tackle. He showed a lot of toughness at the point of attack and held his ground. And again, it wasn't too big for him. He stepped into the spotlight, and he produced. So he's going to get more opportunities coming, and he certainly helps us with that overall mix of who's going to be active among the players that we have, either on the active 53 now, on the practice squad, when it comes to game day, who's going to be part of the 53, and more importantly, who's going to be part of the 46.
You saw a couple times in preseason and in the game, Shea McClellan stand up in a two-point. How'd you like it?
I like that because, you know, since he's been drafted, I've talked about his versatility, and that is what he brings to the table. His athleticism gives him a lot of versatility, and the pressures that he had, several of them were from a two-point stance. It gives Shea a little bit different look on it, and he has a little more comfort that way, but I think it allows him a little bit more of a running head start and a little bit more ability or to use his instinctive ability to make those type of moves to shake himself free.
Does it also help him, and this is a scouting term, you know, transferring that speed to power?
Definitely, but he also had some pressures from a three-point stance. And the thing that you cannot underestimate about Shea is that he's improved dramatically against the run in terms of holding the point of attack. He did that repetitively this past Sunday in terms of taking on the tight end or being in a outside line shoulder of the tackle, which we call a five technique, and holding his ground. We're a one-gap defense. Mean that you have to constrict your gap. You see our linebackers do it all the time. They'll run downhill. And you'll see them put an arm through a blocker to make sure they secured their gap. That's what we ask our players to do. And Shea, increase in strength from one year to the next, has shown that he's more than capable of doing that.
All right, trade deadline. We have 2 minutes to go on the show, but trade deadline coming up. Has your phone been ringing? Are you dialing the phone?
Well, we've been dialing some phones, but, you know, it's all a process, Jeff. And you have to look at who's available, number one. And defensive tackle is one of those positions that are very thin in terms of availability. If you want somebody to be a quality backup for you, why isn't he already on a squad, and why would they give them up? Unless you're willing to trade more than value than maybe that position necessitates. So to give up a lot of value, you got to look at it from the standpoint of, if you give up a draft choice, what does that mean to you down the road? You know, somebody, you know, people say, well, give up a late round. Well, for us this year, that was Marquise Wilson. He made our team. He's a future playmaker. That was Cornelius Washington. He made our team. Those are important picks. Those picks have value. So you have to be careful about giving those picks up with somebody that may not be on your squad a year from now. Plus you don't want them just to fill a gap. You want them to have some growth.
Plus the cap issue.
Yeah, the cap, as far as veteran players and veteran trades, that has a big impact in terms of, do you have the available cap space to bring that player?
All right, I'm going to give you 15 seconds. New York Giants 0-5 with a Tom Coughlin coach team with a two-time Super Bowl winning quarterback. Not easy.
No, I spent a lot of time scouting Eli coming out of college. I had the Southeast for the Bears at the time, and he's a heck of a player. So you have, in those two men, you have smart, experienced winners. So heck of a challenge for you.
Thank you so much. This was great. Loved having you on. 4:30, 7:30 kickoff. Bears and Giants on Thursday night. For Phil Emery, Greg Miller, Andy Gersher, and Steve Grzanich, I'm Jeff Joniak. Thanks for joining us, everybody, on the Bears Coaches Show on News Radio 780 and 105.9 FM WBBM.